This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got to turn these people up. Another 5 hour KM to AM. You guessed it. We're about to talk about sports. Yup, spoiler alert. I like to talk about them all. Whatever you got, dial 888-808-1019. It's just me up here for the next 5 hours till midnight, taking your calls, watching the Knicks play, looking at Twitter, weaving in and out of topics and conversations. Maybe I'll hit you with some storytelling. Maybe I'll hit you with some life stuff. I'll, of course, make it about myself at some point. And you call up. You can co-host for a couple minutes. I'll give you some time. So I did this show last night. A condensed version, right? I was on maybe 10:30 to 2 a.m., and I hit everything from the weekend. Not the Knicks getting owned by the Celtics. They can't lose to the Pacers tonight. The Super Bowl stuff, the football stuff. And there was a lot because I talked about having end-of-seasonal depression, just being sad watching the Super Bowl, understanding why there wasn't so much hype, understanding why it had no juice, understanding why we wanted to talk about anything else from Pete Alonso to Aaron Glenn's coaching staff to whomever. In the weeks leading up, that Super Bowl was lame. I mean, if you hate the Philadelphia Eagles, if you hate the city of Philadelphia, as far as their sports teams go, we'll get into them destroying their city and the parade coming up Friday where there's over 20 individuals who are being searched for right now because of what they did to the police Sunday night. Yeah, they're going to probably pop up Friday at the parade and get arrested. We'll get into, you know, all the things from the Super Bowl, from Patrick Mahomes playing the worst game of his career to that Eagles defense, Vic Fangio, dominant, Cooper DeJean, who I've been, you know, saying Cooper DeJean's name on this radio station for a long time now, months before he was drafted, him showing up, and Jalen Hurts, hand up, got to put more respect on that guy's name. He's a winner. He's done it. And, all credit goes to Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Nick Sirianni, you know, Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Zach Bond, Darius Slay. Like, they just have a lot of guys. I came around last night and I said I'm glad I wasn't on until like 10:30, 11 because it gave me a full 24 hours to process it. To the victor go the spoils, and you've got to give credit where credit is due. Like Howie Roseman, another one, goes in there and changes this team. They were free-falling the year before. He adds a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, an all-pro offensive player of the year at running back, drafts two dominant corners in the first and second round. And, yeah, the Eagles, it sucks. It sucks. It sucks. The Eagles are champions, and it's a miserable season for anyone that roots against them. 888-808-1019. But that's over. And what happens when the season ends? The season ends and we start thinking about next year. We start projecting into the future. Giants fans want to know, hey, how the hell are we going to get back to competing? We got Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag, singing Fly, Eagles, Fly, kicking us in the teeth after the world told us Eli Manning was not a first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe not even a second time around Hall of Famer. After we lost 10 weeks in a row, had the number one pick, gave it back, and now we're in the three spot in the draft where we might get a quarterback, we might not. And honestly, there's no quarterback at the top of the draft that anyone is saying is generational, can't miss, gonna be the leader of your franchise. So what do? We start to connect dots, and Adam Schefter reports that Chad Hall, the brother-in-law of Matthew Stafford, is hired. He was a receivers coach, but now he's a quarterbacks coach for the Giants. And then, you know, simple math will tell you, oh, the Giants got to be interested in Matthew Stafford, right? And we already heard that they want to move Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford come into the Big Easy, really the Big East Rutherford. I doubt it, but we'll talk around it. 888-808-1019. Dan Duggan will join us at 9:15, who covers the Giants for The Athletic, so we can talk all things Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, maybe explore a potential trade for Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, who honestly I don't think Stafford is going to get moved unless, you know, there's a good deal for him. I don't think LA, a team with Sean McVay that's been in contention and gets to the playoffs, I don't think that they're looking to just, you know, move on from him. Who are they going to put in? Stetson Bennett? Like, I don't really know if they're going to make that deal. But, I mean, this is where we are. After a miserable season like that, all you can do is dream and all you can do is hope and try and figure out what the next thing is going to be. And the Giants literally have no quarterback. The Giants not having a quarterback is a problem. It's been a problem for years now. And after a miserable season of offseason hard knocks, fire whoever decided for the Giants to go on the first ever offseason hard knocks and it be the year that they show the world how much they did not value Saquon Barkley, fire whoever made that decision, Joe Shane, the whole show was about him. And then how they handled the Daniel Jones situation, you know, going into the bye week, not telling Tommy DeVito, hey, you're going to start. Drew Lock thinks he's going to potentially start. And then they reduced Daniel Jones to playing safety in practice, and he asked for his... You guys know what happened. Terrible year for the Giants. We'll talk all around what they got to do to fix it. With some cap space, with another draft here, hitting on some picks last year, with the toughest strength of schedule coming up this football season and the longest Super Bowl odds. I remember last year, a lot of people said that the Giants had the worst roster in the NFL. A lot of people were ranking them 32nd or 31st, and we got on the radio and we said, preposterous, how? What? They hate the Giants. They were right. They were right. 888-808-1019. You need a quarterback. Start there. If they love Shedeur Sanders and he's available, get him. But, you know, when the Super Bowl comes, news starts to break. We hear stuff like Deebo Samuel wants a trade out. The Dallas Cowboys are exploring trade options potentially with Micah Parsons. And, oh, the Tennessee Titans may want to trade their number one overall pick. Well, if that's the case, the Giants should be on the phone. They had the pick, but, you know, Drew Lock happened against the Colts. I would seriously make that call because Shane and Daboll are coaching and making moves for their lives. And it's going to be all uphill. I don't know how they win more than five games next year. They need to win this fan base back, right? With an excellent offseason, bring in some free agents, draft some talent, find two quarterbacks, a veteran and a rookie, to get people back on board. Because what I feel right now is, you know, the Giants are irrelevant, and they've been irrelevant for a long time now. And, you know, Strahan can go on Fox and do what he did because it doesn't matter. There's no more honor. There's no more Giants pride. And they're disconnected from this front office and this regime. Amani Toomer echoed what he did. Amani Toomer took it way further than Strahan actually took it. He took a shot. He said it was a warning shot to the organization, right? We put blood, sweat, and tears in as Giants for this organization. We're not just going to be proud and be fans of what's going on right now. We want to see results. So, you know, these guys have come in like Daboll kicking his feet up. Shane just so confident in himself, never fearful of his job at all, with planes flying over MetLife Stadium saying, fire these guys. No, wasn't worried at all about my job. Yeah, because you've done such a great job. 888-808-1019. This is a huge offseason for the Giants to get things right. And I just don't see how they compete in the NFC East. I don't see how they compete with their strength of schedule. They need to be masterful just to get Giants fans to rally around them. Maybe they go get Aaron Rodgers. No, don't. And I get it. Aaron Rodgers spoke about his place in New Jersey and how he wants to stay in Jersey and he wants to be here. Well, the only news that broke between my show last night and today is the news around Aaron Rodgers and Pat McAfee being the deal breaker, right? So Super Bowl Sunday, of course, we get the news. I remember last year, Super Bowl Sunday, Woody Johnson and the Jets dropped the bomb on all of us that they were changing their uniforms up. Yeah, that'll get them. Throw it out there. We're bringing back the classic unis. Whatever. We get the news that Aaron Rodgers will not be coming back. We get the news that, you know, he flew to Florham Park. Well, he flew to Newark and went to Florham Park and, you know, met with Aaron Glenn and met with Darren Mooji and this regime. And, you know, they decided that they're going to go their separate ways. And I spoke last night about a few things that I have in my list. Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic will join us at 8:15. So in about an hour, Zach Rosenblatt, who works directly with Diana Russini, who's wrote a bunch of these pieces in The Athletic, really peeling back the layers to what goes on over there in Florham Park with the Jets. Yeah, he'll stop by to talk to us a little bit. And I've got a few things to hit him with about Aaron Rodgers and how, yeah, I was on board with, okay, Aaron Glenn, first-time head coach, first-time GM, and, you know, this new coaching staff, an offensive coordinator who's first-time calling plays and having that title. Like, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers is the exact bridge quarterback you need. But, no, he's not. We all know Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. Well, it's over now. Like, it can end now. It's a wrap now. Tear the Band-Aid off. That's all he ever was. The Giants or the Jets need to heal. And it's funny, they're like one and the same. I always hear Loogie saying the Giants or the Jets now. It's crazy. We need baseball. We'll get to the baseball tonight, too. We need baseball so bad because the Giants and Jets are so bad. 888-808-1019. So Aaron Rodgers is done. That was another Jets fail. That was another failed experiment. You got him for four plays, and then you got him for a full season. And now, what's plan B? That was my first reaction. This is fine if you're moving on from the Hall of Famer. This is fine if you're moving on from a proven commodity at the quarterback position who you're most likely not going to find better quarterbacks that know the game, that can play the game, that have the experience. Maybe you'll find someone younger. You know, that's a knock against him. He's 41 going on 42 by the end of next season. Maybe you'll find someone who's actually going to buy in. And that's important, right? As the Yankees are reporting for spring training, and I see Devin Williams walking in with his full beard. Shout out to Devin Williams. I met him at American Dream last weekend at the Pinstripe Pride event. He's holding on to that beard until the very last seconds before he has to put on his team official merch and step out there on the field. And why do the Yankees have a shaving policy? It's to make guys fall in line, to buy into the team, that nobody is bigger than the squad. Aaron Rodgers has always been bigger than this Jet squad. He thought he was bigger than the Packers. And what did the Packers do? Goodbye. We're drafting your replacement. We're ready for him to start. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll do the deal. We'll do the trade. You're not our problem anymore. And now, Jets fans, Aaron Rodgers is not your problem anymore. And I understand the trauma that you've been through. I understand that you haven't had good quarterback play. So it's hard to imagine where you're going to go. But where you're going is in the direction of Aaron Glenn. He can't be bigger than Aaron Glenn in the room. His influence on Pat McAfee, him talking about ayahuasca, him showing us his ayahuasca retreat on Netflix, him and his anti-vax conspiracy theories, him always taking shots at people, just being snarky and smug, it's over with. It is over with. And that is how the Jets start to heal. 888-808-1019. He's old, so it would have just been one more year. And like I just said, you got four plays and then you got a full year. Who knows what this year would have been. Maybe you only get four games out of him. And then what, right? You go to Tyrod Taylor. Or, you know, you get this 1 year out of him and you're kicking the can down the road. You could miss the playoffs again with Aaron Rodgers and then be in this position next year. I think they just realize they got to get to this sooner rather than later. And let this new offensive coordinator come in and set up his scheme and his system. And not have to look over his shoulder and know that Aaron Rodgers knows more football than him and is more respected than him. I mean, you got guys like Quinnen Williams immediately tweeting out his displeasure. Shut up. Oh, I guess we're going through another rebuild. Yeah, maybe with that mentality. With that mentality, he sounds like you're just ready to lose again. Aaron Glenn is trying to win. Aaron Glenn is trying to change the culture. And how do you change the culture? You change the people. And I think that's what he aims to do. And obviously the cap hit, they'd rather just get to it now. And the biggest reason that I think that they moved on from Aaron Rodgers, they watched the film. This wasn't a Woody Johnson decision. Woody Johnson told you. I watched that whole press conference. I watched SNY. I watched all of the questions afterwards. I paid attention. I took notes. They asked Woody Johnson if he would have a hand in the decision making on Aaron Rodgers' return. He said no. Like, why would he hire these guys? He said, I just hired these guys to do that type of stuff, right? Don't forget about Rick Spielman as well and the timing of that announcement. I think he had something to do with it. I don't think this is a Woody Johnson decision. I don't think this is a Woody Johnson ego thing. I think this is a football decision because Aaron Glenn told you that day, it's not about Aaron Rodgers, it's about the roster. You got to be one of 53. Jalen Hurts is one of 53. That's why he blocks out all the outside noise. That's why he doesn't care about the criticism. He cares about the team. He cares about winning. He doesn't care if Saquon has 300 all-purpose yards and they win, and he's got 115 passing yards, no touchdowns, and they win. He doesn't care if he's MVP of the Super Bowl. I saw a video of the guy at Disney World. He looks so locked in, like he's focused on winning back-to-back Super Bowls. They couldn't get him to crack a smile. They're asking him all these janky questions, and he doesn't have answers. What's your favorite movie? I don't. He doesn't care. He cares about football and the team, and the Eagles are trying to start their own dynasty. If the Jets are going to get right, they got to start right now. 888-808-1019. So that's the biggest thing for me. They watch the film. Men lie. Women lie. Numbers don't, but stats do. Those Aaron Rodgers stats that somebody's going to call me, Keith, look at his stats. Shout out to Ben who called me last night. Well, if you put his stats up next to, it's very comparable. Yeah, but what's the number one stat? Wins. That W column. He didn't win enough. And he had opportunities to win. And he threw interceptions. And he took sacks. And he pointed the fingers at, you know, Mike Williams or Tyler Conklin or, you know, kind of phased Garrett Wilson out so he could stat pad. With his buddy Devontae Adams, who's also out of here. Good. Goodbye. We don't need you guys popping up on Pat McAfee or Kay Adams show or whatever. That's not what they're going to be about. They're going to be about football and developing a winning culture. And I know if they sat down and actually combed through that film, and you know too if you're a Jets fan and you watch all those games. I'm not a Jets fan, but because of this job, I watched all those games. There's plenty on film to tell you, nah, man. Nope. Got to move away from this guy. Nah. No, didn't he tap himself out of a game in Buffalo? Yeah, he tapped himself out of the game. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break now. Got a full rack of calls. There's so much to go around and talk about. So much random stuff happened. I just saw a video of Patrick Mahomes Sr., who just needs to stay inside. Patrick Mahomes Sr., down there in New Orleans, getting into a fight with former Braves pitcher John Rocker. I don't remember if they had beef back when they played. That's like before my time to really know. Was there some type of Mets Braves beef? But there's a video going viral of them in the streets. John Rocker comes out of a bar and starts talking crap to Pat Mahomes' dad. Yeah, we'll unpack all these different things. Right now, Hot Stove is on for the Yankees. We will get to Aaron Boone's presser and some of the comments. We will get to Carlos Mendoza saying that the Mets plan to have a six-man rotation. We'll do the New York dome talk, like building a dome. Could it happen? Will it like? And something I'll say, man, about that before we break, 888-808-1019, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, like it's not going to happen for a long time. They should have built a dome in East Rutherford. But like Kodai Senga saying that the weather is like the main appeal for Japanese players to go to L.A. The question was asked, how do we get more Japanese players to join the Mets? You can't. You got him. And, you know, Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki followed in the footsteps of Shohei Ohtani. And I should have known better about Roki. The baseball season kicks off this year in Tokyo. It's Dodgers versus Cubs in Japan. Roki Sasaki was always going to be a Dodger. It's a shorter flight home, and they're a dominant team. They just won the World Series. And the way that they deferred all this money, it looks like they could be the next dynasty in baseball if they can somehow go back-to-back. But I got a feeling they won't.